Hello and welcome you to the broadcast today of Trucking for Jesus. My name is Chaplain Blondie Gregory, and I pray today as you listen to the broadcast that God's Word will reach down and touch your heart, and as I share what God has laid on my heart, that will encourage you. I don't know about you, but I'm in a time that I need encouragement. I don't know about you, but I'm in a time that I need a word that I can depend on, someone who's going to stand with me and keep me safe and keep me from the evil upon this earth. And I'm talking about Jesus. And I'm talking about the infallible Word of God. A lot of people say they want God to talk to them. Well, He will talk to you through His Word. See, the Bible is just not a book. It's the living Word of God. The Bible says that Jesus, the Son of God, became flesh, the Word became flesh and dwelt among men. He was the example of the living Word of God. And God's Word, what He did then, He'll do now. And what is sin in God's Word has to be sin today. What is right in God's Word has to be right today. And what He did then, He'll do now. And the lessons and the readings that we hear in God's Word, it teaches us that if we do what they did, we'll get what they got. God's Word is true. God's Word is faithful. And when we get in that Word, things are going to change. If you need a change, if you need deliverance, if you need healing, stay tuned, because that is all included in the broadcast today. God bless you. Lord, in the name of Jesus, the name that's above every name. Oh, Lord, we know the world hates that name. They'll take any other name but the name of Jesus, but we know that that's the only name whereby men must be saved, through the name of Jesus. And Lord, I pray for the congregation that's under the sound of my voice today, wherever they're at, whatever situation they're in, reach down and touch them and take this word and go into their hearts and souls. I pray, Lord, that you reveal your word to them. Make it known to us all, Lord, and give us revelation knowledge like never before, because, Lord, we know by your word that we're in the end time and we're in the last days. Let us be ready, Lord. Forgive us of all sin and iniquity. God, cleanse us and purge us, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Never in my life have I seen a time like we're living in now. Never in my life have I seen a bath of filth and pornography and immorality. I was in a place the other day at the courthouse. I had to go up there and pay in my taxes, and went into a place up there, and I saw some people going into court. And the way they were dressed, it's beyond comprehension. That you would stand before a judge that had the authority to rule over you and to give you a verdict, that you would go before him dressed like something that come up out of the slum. No respect for themselves and no respect for anybody else. That's something you don't see anymore, is respect. One is disrespectful against the other. Everybody's offended. And the Bible says in the last days that the Antichrist will come in through offenses. He'll use the offended people to come in and bring in his kingdom. At first, the Antichrist is going to be called a man of peace, and he's going to make peace, and everybody's going to be happy. And then he's going to turn, and the true one's going to come out in him. He's the Antichrist, and he's going to come to kill and destroy. And it's going to be a time on this earth like you've never seen before. And Jesus said, watch out for these signs, but when you see them, look up, because your redemption draweth nigh. And he said there'll be wars and rumors of wars. There'll be trouble on every hand, earthquakes. All these things are magnifying and magnifying as they're getting closer and closer to the coming of Jesus. There's an unrest in America like we've never seen before. America is divided. And we're plainly told in the Word, a house divided cannot stand. And unless the people come together and repent and call on God, a politician cannot do it. A party cannot do it. A law cannot do it. It has to be through God. God founded, God sent us to this place, and God founded this country, And for years, God has always blessed America, but America has spit in the face of God, and America is in trouble. And we need to recognize that and pray for our leaders, pray for our country. But the revival, the change has to begin in your heart and in my heart. That's the trouble with so many churches today. They're waiting on somebody to come in and bring them a change and bring them revival. It's not going to work. It has to start in your heart and my heart. And that's done by repenting. That's done by following the footsteps that the Lord has laid out for us. And that's from following His Word. We've got to be faithful to His Word. And that's what I want to read now. Out of Acts chapter 1. And this is after the crucifixion. And Jesus was getting ready to be taken up into heaven after He came and walked the earth and revealed Himself to so many on the earth after His crucifixion. And this is what He told His disciples. But ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost is come upon you. And ye shall be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven, as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? The same Jesus which is taken up from you into heaven shall come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. And today I want to talk, and I question that was asked to them, I want to ask you, why stand ye gazing? Now, they had been through a lot at this time. They had witnessed the crucifixion of Jesus. They were afraid of what was going to happen to them. But they also witnessed the resurrection. They also witnessed the resurrected Lord. They also had heard Him and been with Him. And now they were looking up into heaven as He was taken back into heaven to seat on the right hand of the Father to make intercession for you and for me. And His life's blood was presented as forgiveness to all those who would receive it. And so as they were looking up into heaven and a cloud came and He ascended into the cloud and He was now no longer seen, the angels that stood by looked at the men and said, Why stand ye gazing? This same Jesus, not another, not somebody else, but this same Jesus is going to come back just like He left. And that's pointing to the rapture of the church, of the catching away of the children of God in the air to meet the Lord, to be ever with Him. But He said, why stand? They said, why stand ye gazing? And I'm asking you that question today. I've seen a lot of gazing Christians looking up into heaven, and we should keep our eyes on the Bible says that Abraham searched for a country, searched for a city, not made with hands of men or brick or mortar, but he looked for a city whose builder and maker was God. But Jesus had said before this, you're going to be witnesses unto me. Don't stand here looking up into heaven, looking unto where are you going when you die. There's work to be done now. But he said, the work that I'm going to tell you to do to be witnesses unto me, and he named off all the places, and he said, even to the uttermost part of the earth, you're going to be witness for me. But he said, now I've given you power. I'm going to give you power to do what I called you to do. Today, we have a lot of people that's gazing up, and just not long ago, we had the eclipse, and everybody far, near, and wide, they were gazing up at the eclipse, seeing what they could see. A lot of people said this would happen and that would happen and this and that and the other. They were gazing up. But, and that's all good to look at prophecy. We know that. But, we got work to do. If ever there was a time that God's people come together and work together and pull together, it's got to be now. We've got to carry the gospel while this window of time is open, and I believe it's for a short time. That we have to preach the gospel in this country that God has given us the liberty and freedom to go. And he gave us power. He said, when the Holy Ghost, after you receive the Holy Ghost. And we read over in Acts 2:4 that when they were in the upper room, the Holy Ghost came down and the power of God came down and they began to speak with tongues. And the Bible says that when Peter preached, that 3,000 were added to the church. And power came, the healing came, people were being delivered, devils were being cast, power to do the work that Jesus had sent them out to do. And in the time that we're in now, I'm asking you the same thing. Why are you gazing up into heaven? And that's we got work to do. Look around at your neighbor. Got to tell them about Jesus. If you can't go, pray for those that can go. If you can't support them, you can support them in prayer. And you need to support them not only with your finances, but prayer. Always with prayer. He said you receive power. Power to heal the sick. Power to cast out devils. We got people today, they have a form of godliness, but they deny the power. I'm seeing a lot of churches today, they look like entertainment centers. I went to, a church, they called it that. And you thought you'd went in the nightclub. And the atmosphere was, we just here to do what we want to do, and we're all saved, and we have no accountability. You can do what you want to do as long as you made a commitment to the Lord. Don't worry about it. It's okay. And I even heard one of them say, even if you're still doing pot, just work on it. No, 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 no. God sent his word. He sent salvation. He said it created in you a right spirit and a clean heart. All things have passed away, and behold, all things become new. If you still got sin in your life, like an old friend of mine used to say, you need another dipping in the bath of salvation. When you have sinned, you need to deal with it right then and there. You need to take hold of it, because, you see, if you don't deal with the sin that when it comes up, first thing you know, there's another and another and another and another. It's like gaining weight. You just don't put it all on overnight. It's a lifestyle. And some of you are gaining weight in sin. It's not put on overnight. It's a lifestyle that you begin. You start out with this, and then it's this, and then it's this. You alcoholics that I'm talking to, you didn't start out saying, gee, I'm going to take this one drink and become an alcoholic. You started out with one drink here, one drink. Drug addicts, the same thing. You didn't wake up and say, I'm going to destroy my children and my family and my health, and I'm going to bring devastation to all I come in contact with. It started out with that one step, one. And first thing you know, you're hooked, you're bound, and you're in defeat. And the devil has you on your way to hell because you would not deal with it when it first drove up. So many people today flirt with sin and think it has no consequence, but it does. When you look on it and you gaze on it and you take it into your bosom and you entertain it. I remember a story that I heard a long time ago. It's a little parable, but it's so true. It said this man was getting ready to cross a river, and it was cold and damp and rainy. And as he was getting ready to get in his boat to cross the river, this poisonous snake came up and said, give me a ride across the river. And the man said, I can't do that because you're poisonous, and I'm afraid of you. I'm not going to pick you up because you'll bite me. And the snake said, no, I promise I won't. He said, I'm cold. The snake said, I'm cold, and I'm harmless, and if you'll just give me a ride across the river, I promise, I give you my word, I won't bite you. And the man fell for it. He picked him up. He put the snake in his bosom, and he carried him across the river, and when he went to step out, the snake bit him. And the man looked at the snake and said, but you told me you wouldn't bite me. You gave me your word. You lied to me. And the parable goes that the snake said this, you knew what I was when you picked me up. You knew what I was when you picked me up. You knew what you were doing when you picked it up, my friend. You knew what it was. But you thought you was an exception to the rule. And there are no such things. Sin will bite you and turn and destroy you. The wages of sin is death. Eternal death, eternal separation from God, but the gift of God is life through Jesus Christ. And only through Him can you have the life in more abundantly. You knew what it was when you picked it up. When you went down that road, you knew where that road led to. But you thought you could get off of it any time you wanted to. You go talk to people that are incarcerated right now. And you go talk to people that are spending years behind bars because of something they done. They didn't intend to do that. They didn't intend to end up there. But they started, they picked something up. They thought they could handle it. But listen, you can't handle sin. You can't handle evil. You can't get rid of evil. Only Jesus can cleanse, and only Jesus can set free, and only the power of God can make you whole again. You knew what it was when you picked it up. Some of you right now are committing adultery. You're doing things that are evil against your family, and you think you're going to get away with it. But let me tell you, you knew what it was when you crawled in bed with it. Some of you are doing drugs right now. You knew what it was. You knew the dangers, but you thought you could get away with it. And now you're hooked. It's bit you, and a poison flows through your soul right now. I'm talking to people right now that poison is in your brain, it's in your heart, it's in your family, it's in everything you touch. But you knew what it was when you picked it up. And I'm telling you right now that Jesus said right here in this word, the word of God says there's power through the Holy Ghost. God can give you power. There's power for deliverance. There's power to be set free. You've got to know who you are in Jesus Christ. And Jesus told him here, he said, now listen, go witness, tell others. And that's what I'm doing right now. I'm telling you right now, friend, I'm telling you right now, you need Jesus. I'm telling you right now, He can set you free. He can deliver you from the bonds you're in. Once like a bird in prison I dwelt, no freedom from my sorrow I felt. But Jesus came and listened to me, and glory to God, He set me free. Only Jesus can set you free. Only Jesus can make you whole. Now, churches, preachers, teachers, Christians, we looking for the coming of Jesus. I'm looking. Any moment I know Jesus is coming back. I know the rapture, the catching away of the church is at any moment. But I can't be gazing. I've got to do the work while I'm left here to do the work. I can't get lax. I can't get comfortable. I can't get at ease. I've got to go out in the highways and byways and do what God has called me to do and preach the word when I'm called to preach and to be faithful to do what He's called me to do, because I know there's evil coming on this country like we've never seen before. And I know that if you're not ready, you'll fall in that day and your souls will be lost throughout eternity. Now that we have the time, now that God is dealing with us, I beg of you, I plead with you, make it right with the Lord. And if you're a Christian and you're not as on fire as you should be, I pray God will stir that fire, that revival fire within you, and you will wake and you'll do what God has called you to do. Why stand you gazing? He's given us power to cast out devils. He's given us power to stand. And the Holy Ghost, the Bible says, will lead us into all truth. Today, there's a lot of people that's being led into misconceptions, and the gospel's being distorted. It's amazing at the false heresy teaching that is going across the land, that you can just do anything you want to do and it's going to be all right. That's a lie. You must be born again. And when we sin, we have to deal with it. We have to take it and deal with it and put it under the blood. I pray today that you'll wake up and realize what hour it is. I remember in 1 Samuel chapter 16, verses 10 and 11, Samuel went down to the house of Jesse. King Saul had been rejected of God because he had a hard heart and wouldn't repent. He rejected God. And in his place, God was going to anoint another king. And the prophet Samuel went to the house of Jesse upon the prompting of God's word. And God told Samuel, said, go to the house of Jesse, for there's a, I'm going to anoint one of his sons as king over Israel. And all those seven sons, beginning with the eldest on down, paraded before the prophet Samuel. And each time that Samuel looked at the son, he said, surely this is the one, surely this is the one. And God finally told him, said, Samuel, you're looking at the outward appearance, but I'm looking at the heart. And then Samuel looked at Jesse and he said, are these all your sons? Is this all you have? And Jesse said, no, I have one more left, but it's just the lad that keepeth the sheep. He was talking about David, who would be the greatest king ever in Israel. And this is what the prophet Samuel said to Jesse and his sons. He said, well, go fetch him, for we will not sit down till he come hither. Let me repeat that. Samuel said, go fetch him, for we will not sit down till he come hither. Why would not Jesse let the sons of Jesse, why would not Samuel let the sons of Jesse sit down? Because they were waiting on a king, and you were not to sit in the presence of a king. Today, you and I are waiting on the king. Don't be a-gazing. Don't sit down. We've got work to do. There are souls that need to hear the gospel. There are souls that need to hear the salvation message. Your neighbors, your family, you need to be prayer warriors. Pray like you've never prayed before, because we're in the end time and we're in the last days. And he said this in 1 John 1:7. He said, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from half, two-thirds. No. That's not what it says. From all unrighteousness. All unrighteousness. When you're born again and the blood is applied, all the sins, and you're cleansed, never to be brought up against you ever again. And he is faithful to forgive. Don't stand gazing. Don't just sit around and waiting for some. Go out and be a witness. Go out and be the witness that Jesus said to do. Go out and preach the gospel. Go out and help others preach. Go out and be faithful to your church. Some of you are not faithful to the house of God. You'll come just when you feel like it. You'll show up when you have nothing else to do. Anything will keep you out of the house of God. Can't nobody count on you, because they don't know when you're going to show up. You're not faithful to pray for the church. You're not faithful in attendance. You're not accountable. You don't want to be accountable. You just want to do your own thing. But let me tell you, I truly believe Jesus is not coming back for that sort of people. I believe he's coming back for the called, chosen, and faithful. For he is faithful, and we as his children must be faithful. I pray today that you won't be a-gazing, but you'll be out witnessing, knowing in your heart that any minute Jesus is coming back. Be ready for that time when the trumpet sounds. And today, if you're not born again, and you're not ready to meet Jesus, one day you'll meet him either as your judge or your savior. But the choice is yours. Your life and the consequences of your choice, you're filled with them. But I'm telling you, the best choice that one could ever make is to choose Jesus and let this world go by. Choose Jesus and get on that straight and narrow path that leads to heaven and leads to blessing and leads to the abundant life. Jesus said, I come that your joy might be full. And meaning that when I lay down at night, and if I should never open my eyes again on this side, I'll open them on the eternity side of heaven. I'll be found in the arms of Jesus. Years ago, there was a little girl in our town of Martinsville, Virginia. Someone killed her, and for a long time, people were searching for her, and there's flyers all up over the city of Martinsville. And I had taken a trip out of the state, and when I come back, on the post office door, I saw a sign, and it had her name, said, found in the arms of God. Someone had killed her, but she went on to be with Jesus. She was found in the arms of God. Today, when you leave this world, whose arms will you be found in? Will it be that of the tormentor, Satan, or those of the arms of Jesus? Jesus loves you, child. He wants to set you free. Jesus said, I did not come to condemn you, but I came that through me you have life and have it more abundantly. And that's the only way you're going to have life. You can't do it any other way. It's only through Jesus. Don't turn away. Don't reject the sweetest gift that was ever given. Jesus paid a price on Calvary. He took your sin and my sin, and he went to the cross. He was nailed to an old rugged cross, and he paid the price for you and for me. But you must receive it. Salvation is given only if we receive it. Today I pray that you'll receive that gift. Walk in the newness of life. And yes, we're anticipating the coming of Jesus. But yes, we have a work to do. Do what God has called you to do. Be faithful in the service he's called you. And one day soon, we'll see our Jesus. Heaven is worth it all. And remember, every day with Jesus is sweeter than the day before. I've been serving God for a long, long time, for many years. And I say with all sincerity in my heart that it's sweeter now than it's ever been before. And I would not take nothing for my journey now, because I know I'm closer home now than ever before. Life is but a vapor. One day, you youngins, you're going to look up, and it's going to be an old man, old woman looking back in the mirror at you if time permits. Life is short. Do not leave this world. Do not leave, let the last breath leave you without knowing Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. I pray today that God bless you. And if you have a prayer request of any kind, I promise if you send it to me, I'll pray for you. But I ask that you pray for me as well. That's a two-way street. I don't know anybody that don't need prayer. We all need prayer. Pray one for another. Pray without ceasing. For the Bible says the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Thank you for listening to the broadcast. Tune in again next week. And may God's peace, may God's mercy, and may God's grace be with you. And may you look up toward heaven, but yet at the same time be steadfast in doing the work that he's called you to do. Labor for him. Heaven is surely worth it all. God bless you. Have a wonderful day.